Hello, and welcome to Tell Me About Your Song, the podcast where I talk to musicians and songwriters about one of their songs. Today's guest is Rudy Cheeks, and the song he'll be talking about is named Occupation Drifter. Is this a young adult's recording?
This recording was done in November. Actually, I wrote the song after the young adults broke up initially. You know, we just kept coming back because, you know, Lupo right. kept offering us money.
Yep.
So I wrote this for another band with Tommy Enright and Chris Vachon from Roomful of Blues, but he was only 19 at the time. And I wrote that then. I like it musically, and I like it lyrically, and I think it has lasting qualities because it's not about current events. They're so off-center that, you know, I think that they can live on forever for people who like weird songs. The recording that we're going to hear was a band I put together specifically for one performance. Back in November, the Rhode Island Music Hall of Fame decided to sponsor 2 days of concerts with mostly established bands in Rhode Island, people who've been around a long time, like Roomful of Blues, mm-hmm. James Montgomery, John Cafferty and the Beaver Brown Band, Kenny Lyon, you know, like really kind of well-known musicians. And they asked me, they said, well, why don't you do something? I said, I don't have a band. And then a couple of guys in the hall said, listen, we'll put together a band. I said, okay. So I'll call some people. And so I was able to get 2 guys that played with me with the Jackie Beat Orchestra, who Clem, the saxophone player, who's with NRBQ and was for many years the main singer with Riz. Mark Tabor, who I virtually have known for 50 years, played piano. Both those guys were in the Jackie Beat Orchestra. I also got one of my closest friends, Doug James, who plays with Jimmy Vaughn now out of Texas, but he was with Roomful for many, many years. And Doug's playing saxophone along with Clem. Don D.C. Culp's on drums. Jeff Keithline's on bass. Both those guys are with the Rhode Island Music Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. Also, Adrian West of Longshot Voodoo is doing vocals, and Jeff Keithline introduced me to a guitar player, Phil. He used to play with a band called Men and Volts up in the Boston area. Phil is on guitar, and that was the band. We had like about 9 people, and we did like 2 rehearsals, but like I said, some of these guys already knew my songs, which sure. is basically what we're doing, just a set of 10 songs.
That's quite a band.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, I love playing with Mark Tabor, and I love yeah. playing with Clem and Doug, too, so it was fun, and it's all guys, you know, we had fun at rehearsals. It was easy. That, you know, those guys can all play, and, you know, it was just there's a few little twists and turns in some of my songs, and that they get a little bit tricky, but, you know, once you go through them a couple times, you're all set. This song was written, I wrote the music and the words. I wrote it on piano and then I wrote all the lyrics. Most of the songs I did, sometimes I would work with somebody else with the music. Sometimes I'd write the music all myself. That would usually be done on the piano. But almost always I wrote all the lyrics. It's minor key. It has a kind of Middle Eastern thing to me about it, and what it basically the framework of this was inspired by My Heart Belongs to Daddy by Cole Porter.
To Daddy, yes, my heart belongs to Daddy, so I simply couldn't be bad.
Yes, my heart belongs to Daddy because the part that goes, you know, da 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 da.
Da, 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 da.
And it's like that kind of a feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time we played it, it's on the recording that we made that accompanies the film Complex World. It is done in that style. In fact, I introduce it as like, this is an ancient Jewish folk song we wrote a couple months ago. And so it does have that feel to it. But after that, Tom Enright had the idea that we should, let's try it like this, you know, this upbeat ska thing, and it worked beautifully. So Tom was always incredibly valuable at arranging songs. He was also a good songwriter himself. The thing about songs is this, and I think you probably would agree with me here, Jake, and
yeah.
I would hope a lot of listeners would. The songwriter kind of receives the songs, and sometimes when they're receiving them, and this is totally true with me, I don't even know what they mean.
Right.
And then after a while, I figure out, oh, this must be what this means. Or all of a sudden, something means something that didn't necessarily mean the same thing at the time. In the same way, whatever it means to the listener is what it means.
Sure.
Because the listener is creating their own image and thoughts about the song. And so, and that's why music belongs to everybody. Because, like, you know, I don't own the patent on what these songs mean. I just tell you what I think it means.
Right.
And whatever anybody else thinks it means is just as legit.
He came to town, suitcase full of dirt. New York town,
He came to town, suitcase full of dirt, a New York Times and oak tree branch, wine stains on his shirt. The New York Times and the oak tree branch came directly from descriptions in the newspaper of what Ted Bundy had with him when he killed the women in Florida before he got caught. For some reason or other, I remember him, he had in his possession an oak tree branch and a copy of the New York Times. And that stuck in my mind. I mean, not that this means anything, because the song is not about Ted Bundy.
When I asked him what it was he did, he said, occupation drifter.
I don't know, we used to call people drifters. There was like certain phrases, genius, we would call somebody a genius, which basically meant he was a moron, you know. Mm-hmm. You genius, you know, we would say that to people in the audience. A drifter was like, you know, just somebody who was like, well, basically, we don't know how this guy's staying alive, you know. Within this particular group of artists that I hung around with, starting in like 1970 or so, we had little phrases and little things and stuff. And some of those things would carry over into the songs we were writing because it was just, you know, like it was just, and they were kind of like in-jokes among this certain crowd. Here's an instance of something, and I know that nobody knows this, but the term Psycho Killer, which was the Talking Heads' first hit song, that came from a woman named Barbara Conway. And Barbara Conway was in my band, The Fabulous Motels. David Byrne moved to Providence in 1972 and immediately fell in with our group. And Barbara used to call people, you know, psycho killers or PKs all the time. She would see somebody that, like, really looked like, you know, this guy could be real trouble. And she would just say, oh, who's that psycho killer? Or who's that PK? And David picked up on it. And when he wrote Psycho Killer, as soon as I heard the song, I knew that, like, you know, oh, that's Barbara.
Psycho Killer. He was mad in love. Got to get worker, except when he was finished.
Then comes, this is Rich Lupo's favorite verse. He says, he worked in dishes, a master of the sink, a conscientious worker, except when he would drink. Now, I was a dishwasher, and I was singing about me right there. I was a very good dishwasher, and I was the dishwasher at a place called Leo's. But Lupo just somehow, he just says, I love that line, master of the sink, you know. I was good. I was a good dishwasher. And a lot of the young adult songs I wrote were when I was washing dishes at Leo's, because the good part about being a dishwasher, if you are an artist and, you know, working in a band or, I don't know, painting or dance, something like that, you can go on automatic pilot and your brain can wander and you can come up with songs, you can come up with all sorts of ideas, and you're on automatic pilots because you don't have to think about what you're doing. Also, I guess my days as a dishwasher were on my mind because in 1980, I had just finished The Young Adults and we had made a living. I hadn't done a day gig in years because we made pretty good money, but it wasn't a lot of money. It was still like, you know, band money. And so within 6 months of The Young Adults ending, I was back washing dishes. But you know what? The thing was, back then in the 70s anyway, this was, you know, Dead City, as Mark Keogh used to call it, another painter back then. And the economy was depressed in like a good way, in the sense that now you got to have like three or four jobs just to survive almost if you're working jobs that don't pay real good. Back then, I mean, I lived for a while, for like about a year and a half on $55 a week. And I had an apartment on the east side and I went out at night. I mean, that's incredible. You could work a couple of strong shifts as a bartender or on a wait staff or be a dishwasher or a janitor. I was a janitor too. And then pour all your energy into the projects that you're doing, you know, the real work that you're doing, which you're not getting paid for at the time. Mm-hmm. Young Adults rehearsed for over a year before we played a gig.
Drank so much he fell asleep and he slept for 40 years.
There's sort of this mythic quality to the whole thing. Not like a fable, but like a Washington Irving story or something.
Yeah. Well, Washington Irving with the Rip Van Winkle. Yeah, absolutely.
This guy comes to town who's this kind of disreputable character. He drinks, he falls asleep, and then in the modern era, he's like found his place, and he's right. entered politics, and he's put underneath.
He's still a totally shady character, yeah.
Right.
I'm trying to think of this, hold on, I'm pretty certain, is it Tennessee Williams? There's another, talking about, you know, like some guy coming to town. It's a play that was a popular film in the 1950s, I think. What is it now?
I don't know, but it's one of the, I just remember seeing it. But you can see there's a lot of those plays from that era that have that kind of a thing where some, like, you know, bust out drifter from out of town shows up and causes trouble immediately.
Now he's come awake, living
come
in your
awake.
Town.
He's living in your town.
Holding public office.
He's holding public office.
Keeping the taxes down.
And he's keeping the taxes down.
He's got a different name.
He's got a different
wallet
name.
Cards.
Wallet
new home, new boat, new wife, new rug. He's got security guards. That's Buddy Cianci.
I thought it was.
Yeah. That's
He's
the
back.
One thing. He is back, yes. I know, it's amazing. But I've known Buddy for, I've been writing for the Providence Phoenix for like 35 years. And so I knew Buddy back then when he was mayor the first time and the second time. And initially, my relationship with him was very, very tenuous. I mean, he really, because I made fun of him and he didn't like it.
Sure.
So we would write things that were like, you know, not, you know, saying, oh, Buddy is a godlike figure. We'd just say, like, you know, Buddy screwed up again. Here's what he did. This is wrong. He shouldn't have done it, you know. And he would see me and he would like start sticking his finger in my chest and going, you know what? I got $1 million in city money I can spend for advertising for newspapers. The Federal Hill Echo, they're getting money. The Providence American, they're getting money. You guys, you're getting nothing. You know why? You. That's why. Because of you. And so, like, you know, he would just want to, you know, try to make me feel guilty. Like, the Phoenix is losing all this money and it's my fault. And he's going to call up the owners and tell them, you know, that Rudy Cheeks, you got to get rid of him or something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, but that never happened because 10 minutes later, he's got his armor on me and he's saying, why don't you do a fundraiser for me, Rudy? You know, like, it's just like, oh, wow. It was amazing. But anyway, in recent years, I've become much more friendly with Buddy, and I am fond of the guy. I don't live in Providence, so, you know, I don't have to worry about whether I would even think about voting for him, but I probably wouldn't.
This was written in 1980?
Yeah.
So that's the first administration, right?
Right. In 1980, he also tried to run for governor.
Oh, okay.
That was in 1980, and he got blown away.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he was running against Joe Garrahy, and it was, you know, forget about it.
Sure.
Know?
So if people want to hear more of your music, what should they do?
Probably the easiest way is to just hit Rudy Cheeks on SoundCloud.
Mm-hmm. And I think Complex World is still available. And
oh, the film. Yes, yeah. It is. There's a website, Complex World the Movie or something like that.
Yeah.
All the money goes to charity, I think, too. So if you hit Complex World, you'll see a website where they sell the DVD, and you could order it there.
Well, my name's Jacob Haller. My website's at music.jwgh.org. You can find my songs and dates and whatever there. I've got a blog for Tell Me About Your Song. You can find it at yoursongpodcast.tumblr.com. That's TUMBLR.com. And I'll put links to all the things we've been talking about there. And there's also a Facebook page. If you search for Tell Me About Your Song on Facebook, you can find it there. And I post there whenever there's a new episode or I find something interesting. If you use iTunes or Stitcher, Tell Me About Your Song is on both of those. You can subscribe to it there and rate and review it, which I hope you do when you say something nice. So thanks for listening, and we're going to go out by listening to Rudy Cheeks' song, Occupation Drifter.
To go. thing. He drank martinis, he drank vodka, wine and beer. Drank so much he fell asleep, and he slept for 40 years. No, never day. No, portfolio.
I had a show in Manhattan a few years ago, and I tried to explain New York system wieners to the
people,
audience.
To New Yorkers, yeah.
Makes no sense.
Right, I know it. I know it. There is no system. It has nothing to do with New York. What the fuck is it? You know, who came up with this? It was some Greek guys who came from, like, you know, who, you know, immigrated here in the 1920s that created them, and they came up with this phrase, New York system, like they thought it would be impressive to the other immigrants. Yeah. I don't know.
I guess it worked.
Yeah, well, Rhode Island is certainly enraptured by the whole thing, you know? And I'm sure that Del's Frozen Lemonade had to come from, like, some Italian immigrants, because that's classic Italian dessert, flavored ice.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. So, and it's all become, like, you know, totally Rhode Island now.
Mm-hmm.
That new Narragansett beer with Dells in it really sucks in the can, but it's not bad on tap. You can't even taste the lemonade. It tastes like watered down beer. It sucks.
Yeah.
I was so disappointed.